Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my mind? Said we'd be forever. Said it never died. How could you love me and leave me and never say goodbye?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Jones Matthew. I'm, of course, Wayne Ramon. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Not much, man. Congratulations on the win against the Jets today, Mac Jones.
You mean the loss against the
loss against the
Patriots? You mean.
That's what I'm saying, for Mac Jones.
Yeah, the loss against the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. You got the victory.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm thinking Mac Jones plays on the Jets for some reason. I'm forgetting. There's some background. I hear myself on the background. Some background and feedback.
I guess maybe we're hearing, feedback in the background because, you know, everybody's waiting to hear what you have to say in a few seconds. You know, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again so much for checking out the show. This is a special Sunday night edition of the show. You know, on today's show, you know, we'll give our final thoughts about the Yankees season, you know, losing, getting swept by the Astros last week. We'll also talk about the Phillies and the Astros being tied 1-1 as we speak in this playoff series. Talk about the Knicks losing to Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers. Preview the Crown Jewel pay-per-view event coming up next week. MJF getting attacked by the firm in AEW. And you know what else is going on in the world of sports? Of course, we're going to talk about, tough losses by both the Jets and Giants today. And, you know, what we do on sports entertainment, talk sports entertainment, everything else. But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to talk about any of these topics and more, hey, this is the open forum where you could voice your opinions. And, of course, if you want to do that, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, the Yankees. The Yankees, you know, they lost last week. You know, they got swept by their longtime rival, the Houston Astros. And, you know, a lot of questions are being posed. Yes, the ownership gave Aaron Boone, you know, the confidence that he'll be back, despite Mariano Rivera saying if he was the owner of the team, Aaron Boone would have been fired, which I agree with personally. But, you know, I'm going to ask you that question. Do you think Aaron Boone should be brought back? And, you know, what's your whole state of the team?
Well, let me first congratulate the Astros for beating us again in the ALCS. Third year out of the last, six seasons, they've knocked us out of the ALCS. And they have something against us. Some teams just have that it factor against other teams, you know, where they're able to beat them whenever they see them. And Astros have that against us. You know, it's kind of like what you were saying last week when we talked. The Bulls' dominance over the Knicks during the 90s, you know. Or,
and then the Pistons before – Pistons versus
or
the Bulls
Pistons
before that.
Bulls or Bulls or I mean, let me find some others. Liberty – using comments, dominating Liberty in the WNBA finals, you know, every year. Back in the WNBA days when I used to watch WNBA.
Right.
But, the Astros, they just have something against us, man, where we can't beat them. And, you know, I don't know if it's just a mental thing with the Yankees, but they seem to can't get over that hump. And, you know, you saw in this series, we were completely outmatched and almost humiliated. I know in game two, there was some talk that if the Aaron Judge's home run had gone out, that would have changed the outcome of the series. But I think even if we had won that game two, I would still see us losing 4-1 to the Astros, regardless. because Astros aren't that good. You know, they have the pitching, they have the defense, they have their hitters are more aggressive. They're not looking for home runs every time. They have a great bullpen. You know, they have it all, and we were clearly outmatched in this series, and they were the better team. So you gotta give the Astros props, and they are our daddies. You know, at the end of the day, so you gotta admit it.
Another thing by the way, the Yankees. Did you know that the Yankees made history? They were the first team in Major League history to be to lose 5 consecutive ALCS series.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
When was the last time we won an ALCS series?
2009, when you won the World Series against the Phillies.
5 consecutive?
Yeah.
I don't think we've been to that many ALCS series since then, have we?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh. 2010. Or maybe you're right. 2010, 2012. Last year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
2020 and 2017. Yeah, you're right. Damn, I didn't even think of that. Wow. Wow. We're like the Braves of the 90s.
Except for 95.
Actually, you know what? When I think of the Houston Astros, they are like the Braves of the 90s. Great team. But look at them. Like, they go to the World Series almost every year, and they've only won it once.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't beat the Phillies this year,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they go to the World Series for nothing, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Being the Yankees are like their World Series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're gonna definitely talk about them in very shortly, for sure.
Yeah, but as far as the Yankees, going back to them, what we have to do in this offseason, Aaron Boone might have to go, although it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It seems like the Yankees still have faith in him that he can do the job, but he hasn't gotten it done against the Astros twice. You know, twice now. So if I were management, I would definitely look somewhere else, but I don't think that's going to happen. So right now we just have to focus on re-signing Aaron Judge. That's going to be the big move during this offseason. Because if we don't, you got to have the teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, and some of these other big market teams trying to sign them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you make a very good point. Another question I was thinking about that I had to ask you. Let me see if I can remember it. Let me see. It was just not my top of my head. Man, I'm speechless. I forgot what I was going to say. Give me a couple of seconds.
Okay. You're forgetting after that 10-minute intro. I'm sorry. Undertaker to.
Well, you know, I had to play that last music to, you know, pump you up. You know, the Yankee fight song, you know?
Well, what's the pump up? The season's over.
You know, there's always next year, you know?
Right.
Let me see. What was I gonna say? I know for sure it was about the Yankees for sure. For the life of me, I can't remember. I had it, lost it, remembered it, now I lost it again. Yes, the ALCS. How did you feel about them playing the 2022 Yankees axing, the 2004 Red Sox for advice? They had a video. Aaron Boone used it as an inspiration for them to show them that, hey, if the 2004 Red Sox can, you know, overcome a 3-0 deficit against the 2004 New York Yankees, then maybe the 2022 Yankees, this 3-0 deficit against the Astros. What are your thoughts on them using your own franchise as inspiration to try to come back from a deficit?
That was not smart. That was not a smart thing to do. I mean, I get it. I could understand. I could see why they did it, you know, to motivate these players and show them that, you know, you can't come back from 3-0, but using that 2004 Yankees team was not a good example because it's your own franchise.
Yes.
It's one of the most humiliating things in your franchise's history. So they could have picked something else. I mean, there's been some other teams, other sports.
And hockey.
That have come in hockey, right. You could use an example like that, you know? So I don't know why they did it, but it certainly didn't work after that because we still ended up getting swept. But yeah, I think it was not a smart thing to do. And also, whoever leaked it, also, I mean, you know, whoever leaked it is a snitch.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron Boone admitted it, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was
not a bright thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, one, I wouldn't, if I was him, I wouldn't do it for the obvious reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And two, I would even admit it. Like, what benefit do you have that you used your own team, a team that he played for the year prior to that, when he hit that home run that made them, you know,
2003, the year before.
Yeah. For them to advance to the World Series, you know, obviously in vain against the Marlins, but it was how are you going to use that bulletin board material on your own franchise?
Yep.
Like, just for that alone, he should get the boot. But, like, come on. Like, that's like, straight up taking myself, you know, just as a baseball fan, that is just – that's disrespectful. To the legacy of the guys who he played for, when you think about it, your teammates that you played for the year before that, and you're using your own franchise's misfortune as bulletin board material. That is just you could have just talked about it. You didn't have to show the video. You didn't have to have people call the Red Sox. You're that desperate. You're gonna call the Red Sox. For advice?
Yeah,
like,
that didn't make any sense to me, but
Steinbrenner would have never did that.
Oh,
and I'm talking about George Steinbrenner. I'm not talking about Hal Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner would have never did something like that.
George Steinbrenner is rolling around in his grave right now, just thinking about that.
That's straight up disrespectful. All serious, all joking aside.
Yeah, well, you know, again, it certainly didn't help, and you know, right now the Yankee season is over, and they just have to focus on making some off-season moves. I mean, this Aaron Judge move is going to be the biggest move of the off-season, maybe the biggest move of our franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy who just broke the American League home run record, coming off a great MVP season.
Congrats!
So you
got
to try to bring him back because he is the face of this Yankees franchise. And,
yep.
I can't see the Yankees going into next season without Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just impossible. So they got to resign him.
100%. Like, this is a must win move for the Yankees. They have to resign him because, like you said, he does not only have the AL record for most home runs. He has obviously the Yankee record. I mean, you cannot let that guy just walk away like that.
Yeah.
For nothing, you know. You have to resign him. I mean, if they don't resign him, that's literally the end of the Yankees as we know it.
I don't think it's the end of the Yankees because Yankees
I
mean, it's but
as
Aaron Judge
that.
Is a big fan favorite here, and you know he is.
No,
like
I'm not
a,
saying that.
One
I'm
of the most popular
going
players.
Championship. I'm not going that far. I'm saying. As we know, the Yankees as a big spending team that's willing to do whatever it takes, you know, i.e. the George Steinbrenner era, that they're willing to, you know, sign any player, you know, to win. But if they can't even re-sign their own player who set the AL record, like, I mean, come on. The Yankees are strictly you know, they're going from within. I wouldn't say rebuilding because obviously Yankees are always trying to win a championship, but they're just going to stick with, you know, with their homegrown guys, and not to mention pay for players, but not like go all out like they usually do.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they'll get, you know, obviously they'll get people, you know, you know, Yankees and Lakers, man, they'll always, it don't matter how bad they are, and Lord knows the Lakers are really bad right now. But those guys will always, those two franchises will always attract talent to them. So they will never be, you know, bad obviously this Yankee team isn't bad. It's just they can't get over the hump, which is
They couldn't. The offense looked abysmal in this series. You know, mm-hmm. the offense, they just couldn't. I mean, they were just. I mean, those first two games, they struck out so many times. I think they even might have even set a record for those first two games. I mean, it didn't help that we didn't have our best contact hitters in DJ LeMahieu mm-hmm. and
Benintendi,
but mm-hmm. still, I mean, we had enough offense to score runs, but these guys just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's unfortunate that it had to come, you know, during that series. That's happened in that series against the Astros, but again, the Astros were just a better team, period.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I think wasn't it Severino who was blaming, you know, Aaron Judge's home run ball that was caught that should have been, you know, the exit velocity was bigger.
Oh yeah, because the roof was open.
Yeah, instead of who's the guy who hit the other home run on the other on the Astros? Was it forgot who it was?
I can't remember.
But in any case, yeah, it was like a 3-run home run. But anyway. Like, I mean, there's no excuse. I mean, who cares about excess velocity? As long as the ball goes out, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know,
don't use excuses. You know, like I said, even if he had hit that home run, and let's say the Yankees win, I think we would have mm-hmm. still lost that series regardless.
Right.
You know, because the Astros, they won the next three games anyway. So
mm-hmm.
what's the point? The next two games anyway. So what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. 100% right. So, yeah, basically, it's going to be a big offseason for the Yankees. You know, if by some strange thing that they don't re-sign Judge, you know, they're most likely going to spread that money around for other players to try to, you know, rebuild that team. You know, well, rebuild it to, you know, a winner, not a full-blown rebuild. A retool, you could say. Do you think Donaldson should return?
Who returns?
Donaldson. You know, they made the trade for him.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So they should.
He looks horrible at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
If they can try to trade him, yeah, that'd be best because he didn't. I mean, his power numbers were not that bad this year, but I mean, at times he just lost at the plate, especially in this series against the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need more contact hitters. What we need. We're loaded with too many power hitters on this team. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's good to have power hitters, but when you have your whole lineup full of power hitters, it's not good.
Right. I hear you. I mean, that's the kind of the opposite problem that the Mets have. It's like they have, you know, I guess in a sense, it's they have guys who can't. They can't put hits back to back together. You know what I mean? Like they were middle in the pack. They were like, I think ranked 15 overall in baseball with, you know, home run rise. So they're not, you know what I mean? Like they're kind of home run dependent, but you know, they don't have the power other than Lindor, Alonso. I mean, they did have a 20 home run from Escobar, but that was when he got hot in September, when he hit probably 10 home runs in that month or so.
Yeah,
but other than that, they didn't really.
That's why I think you guys are going to try to make a run at Judge.
Yeah, I'm like 50-50 on that. I think they'll talk to him for sure, but...
Well, it's not your say. It's the management's say. So management is going to determine what they want to do.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, obviously, yeah. And I don't even know if they're going to even try to re-sign DeGrom because, you know, DeGrom's injury-prone. I mean, they'll definitely try, but maybe DeGrom's accident price might be too rich for Steve Cohen's blood, if that makes sense.
You don't want DeGrom back?
I want DeGrom back. You know, he's the best pitcher in baseball when he's healthy. You have to take that risk because, you know, one, you know, I like DeGrom personally as a pitcher and, you know, I want him to retire as a Met, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't want what happened with Nolan Ryan after you got rid of him, you know, with Nolan Ryan was the trade, of course, and he finds his form and you know, he pitches well. I mean, the only difference between Ryan and DeGrom, obviously, is DeGrom, he has masterful control of his stuff, but the problem is he can never stay healthy. These past couple of years, he's been injury-prone, whereas Nolan Ryan, he got healthy, you know, as soon as he got traded away from the Mets and became a Hall of Famer, you know. So hopefully they can re-sign DeGrom and, you know, improve the offense. And whether it's, you know, signing Jose Abreu and putting him in DH or, you know, permanently finding a place for Beatty, Alvarez or Vientos, who they call up this past year, because this team really needs some help, you know, bullpen wise. Got to re-sign Diaz. Starting pitching, you know, they got to re-sign DeGrom. Would be nice if they could re-sign Bassett, but we will see what happens with that. And then the offense definitely needs to be improved. Nimmo, it would be nice for them to re-sign Nimmo, but who know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do, man. We're just gonna have to figure out after the World Series. And speaking of which, the World Series, the Astros, they blew a 5-0 lead with Verlander on the mound. Nola got his butt kicked. And then, you know, the Phillies end up winning on JT Realmuto. Home run for them to win the first game of the World Series 6-5, and then afterwards, you know, the Astros had a 5-0 lead again, but they were able to hold on by the final score of 5-1, even though Schwarber hit a ball that was initially called a home run, which would have been a 2-run home run, and then, you know, they reviewed it. And then afterwards, the very next pitch, he got robbed of a 2-run home run, which would have made it 5-3. But the Astros was able to leave home, splitting the series. So now the series is going to the city of brotherly love. So what you think is going to go? What's your thoughts on this whole World Series?
The Astros are the favorite in this series by far.
Mm-hmm.
They should win it. But the Phillies have been pests throughout this playoff run. I mean, they beat the Braves, they beat the Padres, and now they're looking to beat the Astros. I think the Phillies have a chance to pull off an upset and shock the world.
I think they
will.
The way
they've been playing. And if you look at the Astros World Series history, the last two teams they lost to have been National League East teams, in the Nationals and the Braves. So they could most likely lose to the Phillies if they're not careful.
And don't forget, 1986, when they were a National League team in NLCS, they lost to the Mets too.
So. Oh, yeah, I know you're going to bring that. This has nothing to do with 1986, man. Jeez.
Well, they cheated. The Astros did cheat that year. The Astros did cheat, but they lost anyway. But this year's team, they you know, there's no excuse. They didn't cheat, to our knowledge. So,
to our knowledge, that's right.
Because you can never say definitively, oh no, they didn't cheat. And then you find out later on they did, allegedly. I'm just saying, generally speaking, not.
It's gonna be a great series. You know, I'm not gonna watch it. I'll probably see the highlights, but I don't really care.
Oh yeah,
for this
plus
series that much.
The cards too.
You know, yeah. But I'm pulling for the Phillies. Phillies can pull off that upset.
Of course, you know, Met haters unite.
No, I just don't like the Astros.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Oh.
Oh yeah, speaking of the Cardinals, Wainwright is coming back for another year. He's 5-1 away from 200 wins, so
nice.
Smart decision for him to come back one more year. Get that. And as of right now, Yadier Molina and Pujols is retired unless they change their mind as well. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Phillies are going to win. Phillies shouldn't even be in the playoffs if it wasn't for this new format. And they're basically taking the Marlins playbook, winning the wild card and potentially going all the way. So yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Yeah, they fought some tough teams. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the obviously their rival Braves, and then now the Padres. So yeah, say what you will, I hate the Phillies.
They got hot at the right time.
They got hot at the right time, man. You know, they got hot at the right time where it counts, and you know them firing Girardi. And promoting Thompson, who rightfully so, they took the interim tag from him, and they gave him a multi-year contract. So you know, congrats to him, well deserved to Rob Thompson for that. And Keith Hernandez admitted not too long ago, a few days ago, that you know he was joking that he will return to Philadelphia, you know, next year. Even though the Philly fans and the people in the, you know, the Philly announcers and
yeah, he's gonna be terrible.
Yep, but that's if he resigns with the Mets, because Mets, that's one of the big Mets free agent signings that they have to do too as well. You know, along with resigning Diaz and DeGrom and Nemo, they got resign Keith Hernandez for SNY because that trio, Gary Cohn, Ron Darling. And,
but that's more SNY. That's not the Mets, right?
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying they need to re-sign those guys. Those are the best. That's the best broadcasting trio in baseball right there. So hopefully they could, re-sign them. But moving along from our favorite teams to the other favorite team that we root for, and that's of course the New York Knicks. Knicks, you know, they've been playing well lately. Lost the first game against the Grizzly, won three games in a row. Then they've lost its last two, and most recently they lost earlier today against Donovan Mitchell, the guy. And I just want to say thank you, Danny Ainge. Thank you for for doing this to us. For like the Knicks haven't suffered enough. You know, we're one half away. Of we're in our 50th anniversary of our last championship, a drought so long ago that not even Good Times was on TV. That's how long ago the Knicks haven't won a championship. Thank you, Danny Ainge. Now I had to sit and watch this game with a player that should have been a Knick, a guy who grew up a Mets and a Knicks fan. Hello, this guy was born to play for the Knicks, but no. This guy want to be salty because he's a Celtic, and apparently he got a little PO'd about, you know, the Knicks, like Randall and people in the World Wide West attending the playoff game between the Jazz and the Mavs. You know, was it the first round of the last year's playoff? And apparently he got ticked off by that, and he screwed us out of a chance of having a great talent in Donovan Mitchell on this team. And sure enough, Donovan Mitchell, we had at one point like a 10-point lead at least in the fourth quarter, and in typical Knicks fashion, we blew it for a 120 and lost by the final score of 121-108. Donovan Mitchell, man, hitting like a 4-point play. Kevin Love hit a 4-point play, and it was like in the same quarter too, if I'm not mistaken, the fourth quarter. Yep. It was just, man, he just torched us. 38 points, 12 of 20 shooting, 8 for 13 downtown, and he just destroyed us, man. Kevin Love showed us no love. He should change his name to Kevin Hate, because he showed us no love today, scoring 29 points, shooting 9 of 14, and he hit eight for 13 from downtown. And one of them was a 3-point, you know, a 4-point play, as well as I just mentioned. The Mets, I mean, not the Mets, the Knicks, which, I mean, they're interchangeable when you think about it. They both wear orange and blue, and they both only won 2 titles, you know. So they're pretty much interchangeable. And I love both of them. Go fig. But, yeah, the Knicks, they went 10 for 27 from downtown. So that clearly killed them, you know, in the game. And I guess the only bright spot I could think of is really Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, scoring 12 points on a 6 of 10 shooting to go along with 9 rebounds. But, yeah, man, they just destroyed us.
Our defense needs to improve. Our defense so far has not looked good at times.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get better. And, I mean, I like Brunson. He's turning out to be a pure point guard that we've been looking for years now. You know, I like how he directs the offense and gets, you know, everyone involved. You know, that one game at MSG where he had, I think, 16 assists, was it? I forget what game was that. But he's been good so far for us, I think. But we have to improve on defense, man. We have to stop giving it open shots, especially in the second half. We have to get back on transition. And Mitch Robinson has been playing good defense in the paint,
mm-hmm.
in the blocking shots. But interior defense, we need to get better on that as well. So that's the improvement that we need to make. And I would like to see more bench scoring also. I know
mm-hmm.
we're playing Cam Reddish more.
Mm-hmm.
Rose is back. He's helping out. But this Isaiah Hartenstein guy, I want to
mm-hmm.
see him play more.
Mm-hmm.
Give him more minutes.
Yeah,
give
man.
Give him more minutes, you know?
Yeah, man. If you wanted to build a perfect backup center, you know, a guy who could, you know, who plays hard, who can knock down a three, you know, you don't go up to Mary Shelley and you know, make Frankenstein. What you do is go into free agency and sign Isaiah Hartenstein, because this dude is a monster among men, like Braun Strowman right here.
Yeah, I want to see him get more minutes. You know?
Him topping, for sure. I want to see them play more.
Yeah.
Play more minutes, for sure.
Definitely. But, Mitchell Robinson, as good as he is defensively, offensively, you're not going to get much from Mitchell Robinson, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, unfortunately, a weak point of his game.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get some offense from Hartenstein and Obi, you know, I think
mm-hmm.
we should be good. But those guys are going to need to get more minutes.
Mm-hmm. Playing, you know, Reddish more.
Yeah, I like Reddish.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some trade rumors, but, you know, I think we should keep him. This guy's young, athletic, brings the energy off the bench. You know, he should definitely be part of the Knicks' future going
mm-hmm.
forward.
And hey, man, like I was saying, man, you know, I can admit when I'm wrong. And you know, for this whole past year, I've been saying, man, trade Randall, trade Randall.
You've
you
been
know.
Saying that for the last 3 years, I think.
No, well,
before you know, they went to the playoffs, you wanted to trade them.
Okay, maybe
you
that's
and the other Knicks fans.
It's possible. It's possible. I probably did say that.
You did.
But,
I have to say why. I mean, who would you get in return?
But, yeah, for sure, last year I definitely want him out of town. But, you know, props to him. You know, he's committed. He, you know, he's not having the ball in his hand all the time thanks to Brunson. And, you know, he showed up. He lost some weight. And, you know, he's putting in the work. You know, so, you know, I'll admit, you know, and like I said, I want to be proved wrong. So far, I know the season's still young, you know, the season's still, you know, young. We're what, 3-2 now? So, we're 3-3, I should say. Yeah. Cause we lost to the Cavs. So, you know, props to him. He's committed to try to help the team win. So, you know, hopefully he can keep it up. But now there's rumors coming out that, and like you said, I admit I was wrong. I wanted him to trade it for Westbrook, you know, to get rid of that contract, you know, get rid of the Randall contract, and, you know, and free up space for Toppin to start. But now there's new rumors that now the Lakers want to trade Westbrook, because obviously they've been horrible. Last time I checked, they were like 0-5 in the season. And congrats to LeBron James passing Karl Malone, you know, for having the most 20-point games, you know, in NBA history. So congrats to him. Obviously, he's looking to for the ultimate goal of passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading scorer. But, yeah, back to the Lakers. They want to trade Westbrook and 2 first-round picks for Evan Fournier, Cam Reddish, and Derrick Rose. So I'm guessing you would still turn down that trade.
For Cam Reddish, Evan Fournier, and draft picks?
No, and Derrick Rose.
Here's the thing: if we trade for Westbrook, we're giving up future draft picks.
No, actually, they're giving up two draft picks. I don't think.
Oh, they're giving up draft picks?
In the two scenarios I saw, I don't think. In the scenario I saw, they're the one that's giving 2 first round picks, and we're giving up Fournier, Rose, and Reddish.
Actually, that wouldn't be a bad trade. Although I like Reddish, though. You know, I don't want to give him up. But if we can do that deal, hey, I'm for it. But the question you have to ask yourself, how much does Westbrook have left? Because he's older. And, I mean, this is not the same Westbrook that we saw 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is an older player that's – his shot selection is not that good right now. He has been known to be a bit selfish offensively. And I don't know how he would get along with some of these other players, chemistry-wise, on the floor.
They might just if this trade does happen, I think they would just release him. I just can't see.
But why? Why would you do that and then release him? That doesn't make any sense. We're going to give Reddish and Fournier and Rose away for nothing.
For draft picks, I think.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not doing it then.
If you just gonna release it, that's stupid.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, if you are gonna make the trade, you should at least see what he has in the tank. I mean, there should be less pressure on him, because you know you're gonna have Brunson have the ball, you know, and you can make him be more of a natural scorer. You know, he doesn't need the ball in his hand. There'll be less pressure on him, because we know he's not the same guy that he used to be. And you get 2 first-round picks. And I would assume, since the Lakers are horrible, that if it's I assume it would be the first-round pick that they have right now, or maybe it could be another pick that they have from somebody else. You know, if it is their pick, their own personal pick, you know, that they didn't take from someone else in a draft, that would be a pretty high pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Knicks have a history of getting players past their prime. Mm-hmm. We just have a history of doing it.
Yeah,
Why can't we ever stop?
The problem is we get players past their prime, but when we have players in their prime that we could get, we don't do the trades. Like going back to back in the days, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he wanted to get traded to the Knicks. They didn't want to trade him. They didn't want to trade for him because they felt like, you know, they were still in the 70s that they, you know, they felt, I guess they could win another title without him, and the rest is history. And then around that same time, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, he retired and he wanted to come back and actually play for the Knicks, but the Lakers vetoed that move of him coming back, because I guess they still had the rights to his contract somehow. So that didn't happen. And then the even bigger move, They could have traded for Dr. J, but instead they didn't want to take his salary, and then he got traded to the Nets and won the won the ABA title or titles, and then he went to the back to he went to Philadelphia and won the title with them in what, 83? So those are like three, at least three Hall of Fame players that we could have got that could have changed the fortune of the Knicks, and they didn't even go. And this is just the 70s, and we didn't do anything. So that's the. It's either we get someone past their prime, or we don't strike while the iron is hot and go after a player like that. And maybe Donovan Mitchell might be that other guy, because apparently he's starting to play defense now. And look at the Cavaliers are 5-1 now.
Yeah.
And the mess up thing is that, you know, now the Knicks have to try to avoid their 3-game losing streak when they face the Atlanta Hawks, which of course has our new rival Trae Young. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, shifting gears. Yeah, man, the Jets, they had a horrible game. They faced, you know, Mac Jones, you know, also known as my co-host right now. You know, you know, they got their, you know, they were riding high. They had a 3-game winning streak.
You guys can never beat the Patriots. That's
no,
like,
we can't. We can't.
Wow.
We,
when was the last time you guys beat the Patriots?
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to remember.
Go back years ago.
Yeah, definitely years ago, for sure. This team, man, we just can't beat the Patriots, man. It's a joke.
Yeah. Talk about domination.
Yep. Yeah, we lost, final score 22-17. What was I going to say? He threw three interceptions. He threw Zach Wilson, you know, he threw two touchdowns, but, you know, obviously the three interceptions were costly. And, you know, the Jets lost by the final score of 22-17. And, you know, the Jets, they were riding high. They won three in a row prior to that. But now they got to regroup. I mean, they had big wins against the Broncos, the Packers. They bludgeoned the Dolphins a few weeks ago, 40-17. Steelers, yeah, they won like four in a row. But you know, the Patriots, man, they just have the number, man. They just, no matter what they do, man, they just can't beat the Patriots, man. It's like, no matter who they, like, they could put a, Bill Belichick could put a scarecrow out there, or Bernie from Weekends at Bernie as a quarterback, and they still would lose to them. Like, it don't matter what stiff they put you know, behind center, they'll just whoop our behind. It's a joke. Like,
yeah, it doesn't. Well, it didn't help losing Breece Hall the rest of the season.
Oh yeah, yes, obviously. Yeah,
he is having a very good year.
Oh yeah,
as a rookie, but fortunately, lost for the year, and these other guys are gonna have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, man, he looked like a rookie out there,
super rookie.
Mhm. And then another big test is now he's gonna have to host the Buffalo Bills this Sunday, and then after the bye week, face the Patriots again, but this time in New England. So that's gonna be even tougher. So, yeah, man, and you know, congrats to the Brickshaw Ferguson, you know, getting inducted to the Jets Hall of Fame. You know, before, you know, I think at halftime of the game. So congrats to him. But yeah, they really could have used him defensively. But yeah, man, that Patriots, man, they just They just have our number, man. Okay, yeah. What can you say? So, yeah, hopefully they can rebound and win these couple of pivotal AFC East games because, yeah, the season's, you know, this ain't baseball. You know, this season goes by really quick. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And then moving on to your Giants, they also face a tough loss against the Seahawks, and they made Geno Smith, you know, live up to his potential. Now the Giants fall to 6-2, and the Seahawks improved to 5-3. Yeah, what's your thoughts on the Giants today?
Yeah, a tough loss. The Seahawks, they played better football than the Giants. Giants looked like they were asleep out there. Offensively, they couldn't get anything going for most of the game. Defense played okay for the most part. But, I mean, Geno Smith, he's been playing good all year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just this game. I mean, he's been doing a pretty solid job replacing Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So from props to him, former New York Jet. But
And Giant.
But, you know, he spent most of his career with the Jets. But, yeah, no, Geno props to him. You know, he's been doing a great job as the quarterback of the Seahawks this year. And Kenneth Walker, the running back for the Seahawks, I like his game. He's a rookie, but he's proving to be one of the top rookies in the NFL right now. So he had a touchdown today and a touchdown throw to Tyler Lockett pretty much broke our back, you know, in this game. But offensively, we got to do better, you know, especially in the first half. We got to get it going because it always seems like the offense doesn't score until the second half. That's been the story all year where we come back in the second half, and that has to stop. We have to get the offense going early. But other than that, you know, we have a bye week next week. So we just have to come back from the break and have a much better performance today. You know, we're still 6-2 atop the NFC East, you know, with the Cowboys. And, of course, you got the Eagles who are still undefeated. I think they're, what, 7-0 right now? So here, Giants, they just have to move on from this. You know, don't dwell on it too much. Just come back from the bye bigger and stronger. You know, having a very good season so far, 6-2. I'll take it at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Geno Smith, you know, basically said that, you know, I'm happy here to be in Seattle. I spent 1 year with Giants. This year to me, that year to me was like a blur, and my life has moved on from them. I don't have any remorse towards anybody there. In fact, to me, this game was for Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. They believed in me. So as far as any other thing, I don't really care for it. I'm happy here in Seattle. It's like a family here. It feels like home. And I'm just enjoying my time here and continuing to work hard with these guys and just trying to be the best we can be. End quote.
Pacino.
Yeah, man. You clearly see that. Like, he's finally putting it together, you know, the potential that he had, you know, when he was with the Jets. And that 1 year he was with the Giants. And now he's you know, he has his chance to soar as a Seahawk. So good luck with him.
Yep.
And then going back, to basketball. Yeah, what's your thoughts on the Nets' slow start?
I don't know what to make of it. You have a lot of talented guys on that team, but for some reason they're not playing like they should be playing. I mean, and I'm not talking about Durant and Irving. They're doing their part, but you got other guys like Ben Simmons, who really hasn't done much in these six games so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely got a step because they traded for him for a reason. And I know he's right now scared to shoot. scared to shoot the ball. I mean, you got celebrities like Cameron roasting him right now online. So he's got to get it together, man, because the Nets are going to regret making that trade. But the Nets overall, they got absolutely better as a team. I mean, they're looking worse than the Knicks, which is very surprising.
And they got the two better players on their team. You know, basically, Mkhitaryan, you know, destroyed them for 32 points. Halliburton scored 26 points, eight assists with six rebounds. Yeah, they got destroyed by the Pacers yesterday by the final score of 125-116. Yeah, the Nets are almost as bad as the Lakers, man. 1-5. You know, it's man, there's no excuse. Do you think Steve Nash should get fired?
Wow. If they don't make the playoffs or they fail if they have a first round exit, yes, he should be let go after this season. But I think give him a chance right now. Too early.
What about if they're like really knocked out of it midway in the season? Should they fire him?
No. I think you should still wait.
Because
they have too much talent. They could turn around any at a blink of an eye. So I don't think we should panic yet. Don't be like the Knicks.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, he should definitely be on what's the word I'm looking for? The hot seat for sure. As of right now, the Lakers are losing 74-70, but it's in the third quarter. So they might potentially lose go 0-6, but it's still early. And what was I gonna say? Yeah, the Rangers they won by the final score in Phoenix. So congrats to them. What was I gonna say? But let's shift gears to wrestling. Before we go into give our predictions for the Crown Jewel pay per view event. There was a big event on AEW. Basically, they announced that it's official. Jon Moxley is going to be fighting against MJF at an upcoming pay-per-view event for AEW. As a result, MJF cut a promo with Renee. Remember Renee Young, but now she's going by her real name, Renee Paquette, however you pronounce her name, you know. She recently joined AEW. So basically, MJF is going to be fighting her husband, Jon Moxley, for the title. And he was with this group called The Firm. And MJF, he's been, arguably the top heel of AEW for a while. But he's been showing some signs that he might go babyface, or he might be tricking the fans of that. So he wanted to beat MJF. He wanted to beat Moxley fair and square. He wanted to beat him fair and square at the upcoming event on Full Gear, which is going to be November 19, because he's going to cash in his chip, which, basically their version of the Money in the Bank, that he won that match So he's gonna he promised that he wanted to fight him fair and square. So John Moxley had defeated Pentagon so that he could be the so he beat Pentagon to defend his title. So now since MJF is the number one contender, instead of cashing in, you know, like how typical heels do with the Money in the Bank, he said in advance that he's gonna cash in at Full Gear on November 19th. So he promised that he wasn't gonna use his group, the Firm, to defeat them. But what happened was during on Dynamite, they Stokely, I forgot his name, but he basically they supposedly broke the promise that they weren't gonna interfere after the match and attack John Moxley because MJF said he wanted to fight him fair and square and beat him fair and square because William Regal, I don't know if you remember that William Regal and him cut a promo about how, you know, when he was trying out for WWE, one of the people that saw him, you know, try out was William Regal. So for several weeks or months, he was getting advice from William Regal. And one day, William Regal just, like, I guess, you know, played him and gave him tough love without him knowing it, you know, basically cut him off. And he carried that chip on his shoulder for years and had a resentment over it. So he cut that, like, you know, epic promo on him, like, a few weeks ago. So then, so basically he's been trying to prove himself that he can, you know, that he could do it on his own without any help. So Dynamite, he got attacked. They broke the promise. They attacked Moxley. You know, they had William Morrissey, who used to be known as Big Cass, Ethan Page, and all these other guys, you know, attack John Moxley. And then MJF was conflicted whether or not if he should help out or not, because obviously it's in his best interest that Moxley gets hurt. But I guess part of him wanted to see if he could beat him fair and square. He wanted to prove that he could beat him fair and square. So then he ended up, you know, helping Moxley after he was, you know, Moxley was beat up, and he got beat up and put through a table by William Morrissey, formerly known as Big Cass. So that's how, you know, that's how basically what was I going to say? That's how Dynamite ended. And then apparently on Rampage, Billy Gunn, he got kidnapped. So here's basically what happened on Rampage. John Moxley defeated Matt Menard to retain the title. Matt Menard basically was trying to get a future title shot. So as a result, Moxley's going to, you know, face Lee Moriarty, one of the people from the Firm who attacked him. And Stokely Hathaway, you know, was boasting about, you know, the Firm attacking Moxley. And, Keith Lee defeated Serpentico. Ty Mello defeated Madison Rayne. Wardlow defeated Matt Taven to retain the TNT Championship. And, that's basically all the major stuff that happened with AEW. But, yeah, shifting gears to WWE. Emma returned, first time in 5 years. You know, congrats to her. you know, but, you know, she did lose to Ronda Rousey on Friday. But the biggest thing was that the promo, the Usy promo that Sami Zayn, you know, cut with the Bloodline. But yeah, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, the there's some infighting going on between is it Jey Uso?
Yeah,
I think it's Jey Uso. Yeah. So infighting going on. I find that interesting. But Sami Zayn is. I wonder if Roman Reigns is going to make Sami Zayn chief of command, or like a lieutenant or something, you know, to keep
that's
the Usos in line. So it looks like that's the way it's headed.
That's what it looks like it is right now, because all the Bloodline people are cool with him except for Jey.
Yeah,
Jey is the only one who's not down with him.
Yeah,
you know, on the thing, and then Jey, you know, got PO'd and you know, said that, you know,
he doesn't care.
Yeah, and the look that Roman Reigns gave was priceless. like he deserved the Oscar just for that. And Sami Zayn as well, man. Sami Zayn, man, he's as weird as it sounds, man. He's been what's the word I'm looking for? The unsung hero of the Bloodline, man. He might even be the MVP of the Bloodline, and Roman Reigns is the undisputed champion. Like, Sami Zayn is really, really over with the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been popular with the fandom. But, man, he's – my goodness, he's, you know – I mean, he's like a modern-day Mick Foley right now. Like, he's like the lovable loser who, you know, you're rooting for. Especially when they eventually turn on him.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that him and Kevin Owens has had a plan all along, and he turns on them. And this could hopefully, you know, make Sami Zayn a main event type of guy in the future once they eventually break up. But, oh, yeah, and then Bray Wyatt cut a promo, and Uncle Doody made his debut. Uncle Howdy, I should say. And many people are speculating, and myself, you know, we believe that Uncle Howdy is really Bo Dallas, because Uncle Howdy has the same type of cross earring that Bo Dallas has, apparently. But we'll find out soon enough.
Interesting.
What was your thoughts on Emma coming back after a 5-year hiatus?
Yeah, I think I remember last time when she tried to come back, they tried to change her gimmick. That didn't work out. So we'll see how this what happens this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm happy that she's back.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only thing that would make her entrance better is if they would give her the old school song.
Yeah,
but then
the happy go lucky thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's good to see her back, and you know, reportedly WWE is under Triple H's is definitely looking to bring more people back. So I mean, that's a great thing. Once it, you know, they started doing that, it's, you know, it's definitely injected some buzz around WWE, because a lot of people who shouldn't have been cut are finally getting back in WWE. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, speaking of what's happening, let's talk about this pay-per-view event. The Usos, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso will be battling the Battling Brutes. I'm picking the Usos to retain.
I'll go with the Usos as well.
Mm-hmm. So Ridge Holland and Butch will lose this match. Bianca Belair versus Bayley I think Bianca will retain again.
Well, Bianca as well.
And that will be a last woman standing match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Next, we have Braun Strowman versus Omos with MVP at his corner. I think Braun Strowman will win. I don't think they're pushing Omos as much as they were before. Especially with Strowman back now. Yeah, I think he's gonna. Braun Strowman is gonna win that match. Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross in a steel cage match.
Kross.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Kross as well. The match I'm mostly interested in is Brock Lesnar versus Lashley. I'm gonna say Lashley, man, because I mean he needs his W again.
I'm gonna go with Lesnar.
Yeah, I realistically can see Lesnar winning, but I mean they gotta give Lashley this W again. But more likely it'll be Lesnar, but I'm picking Lashley to win this. Then you have OC, Styles, Gallo, and Anderson versus Judgment Day, Balor, Priest, and Dominic Mysterio. I'm picking Judgment Day to win this.
Yeah, me too.
Dominic to get the victory.
Yeah, no Judgment Day.
Thanks to Rhea Ripley. And then they spoke on Raw, they have to address the Ripley problem because she basically attacked all three of them. And you know, obviously, this isn't old school WWE where, you know, the Attitude Era where you know, dudes would put their hands on you know China or you know somebody of that effect. So I'm guessing they're gonna have to find a lady to join their group.
Yeah.
To deal with her to be the equalizer. Hey, maybe Queen Latifah. She's in the Equalizer show. Maybe you know she could bring you an ITY. You know. On Rhea Ripley. Who knows? Hey, they love stars, so that might be a possibility. But last but not least, you got Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Nope, he's... let's be real. He's not David Arquette, so they're not going to have a surprise celebrity championship victory like it's WCW in the late 90s, early 2000s. So unless they're promoting Ready to Rumble 2 starring Logan Paul and The Miz maybe for all we know. Other than that, I don't see Logan Paul winning this.
I'm going to win Roman Reigns.
I'm in total agreement with you right there. Roman Reigns will retain it. And, yeah, that's that. And then I guess it'll lead to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar again. Survivor Series, probably. For all we know. Well, I guess with that, that's all we got to, you know, we have to say. Is there anything you'd like to say before we ride off to the sunset?
Check out my show, iMac, come up here shortly, and you guys come back here, check out Sports of Religion every Saturday at 11, only on Bob Talk Radio, and enjoy your Halloween.
All right. You're the guy. Check out his show, iMac, coming up very shortly. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports of Religion TV, and come back next week, next Saturday at 11. It's regular time and date. And check out Sports of Religion with me, William Rommel, and Macaulay Matthew. So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for you know watching the show. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace. Thank you.